Hot Cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, February the 7th, 12:15 p.m. The sky is cloudless. Heat hammers down with the dulling force of a sledgehammer. The Bonato Nursery School in Cyrodiil is quiet, a prelude to the emotional storm about to be unleashed. In a car parked across the road from the school, a man in the livery of a chauffeur waits in a state of tension, smoking a cigarette, tapping a nervous tattoo on the rim of the steering wheel. His eyes never leave the buildings of the school. Then a bell rings. There's a pause of no more than minutes, and from inside the school grounds, children start to appear. The man in the car flicks the cigarette spinning away from him, takes a deep breath, and walks across the road to the school. He keeps his eyes on one boy, a small, laughing five-year-old, rocking to and fro on a mechanical horse.
Hold on tight, Mark. You don't want to fall off, do you?
Who are you, mister? Do you want a yard?
Not now, Mark. We've got to get back to your daddy. Are you ready?
Ah. Where are we going?
To our daddy's office in town. You like that, don't you?
I've been there. Lots of time.
Well, come along then. You're going again.
But I want to finish my yard.
Oh, you could come back for that. The horse will wait. You all know how cross your daddy gets when he's got waiting.
He doesn't. Daddy never gets cross. Only with Mummy sometimes. Then he shouts at her.
Well, you don't want that to happen, do you? If he gets cross, he will shout at Mummy. Come on now. The car's just over the road.
Oh, all right then. Now, horse, you just stay there and wait for me, hey?
That's it. Give me your hand. I'll be your guard across the street.
Are we going to be a long time?
No, not long, Mark. Why?
Because if we are, I want to make sure that horse is fed properly.
Oh, don't worry. He'll be here. We'll be back before the horse gets hungry.
Just a minute. What's going on here? Where are you off to, Mark?
We're going to Daddy's office.
Oh, are you Mr. Calder's driver?
That's right, ma'am.
Well, what's all this about? We don't come out until 1 o'clock.
Oh, didn't Miss Middleton tell you about the arrangements?
What arrangements?
Oh, I see. Mark's going to the D-E-N-T-I-S-D. Mr. Calder arranged it with your Miss Middleton this morning.
Oh, well, I suppose that's all right then. Will you be bringing Mark back again afterwards?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. It'll be rather late, won't it?
Yes, it probably will. All right. Now, you behave yourself, Mark. Don't be naughty.
I'm not naughty. You are.
Off you go, then. Watch him crossing the road, won't you?
Hey, he'll hold my hand all the way. Cheerio.
Goodbye.
That's it. Hold tight, Mark.
I don't have to hold your hand. I'm a big boy.
That you are. Come on, no cars coming now.
Where's the car?
Right in front of us, over there.
That isn't Daddy's car. His car's much better than that.
Oh, it's at the garage being fixed up. That's why we're using this one today.
It's not nearly as nice.
Ah, there we are. In you get. That's it. On the front seat, next to me.
When Tully drives, I was sitting in the back.
Yes, I know, but this is much more fun, isn't it?
Why isn't Intulut driving today? Are you Daddy's new driver?
That's right, Mark. Oh, you drive very well.
Of course I do. I've been driving for ever so long.
All right. We're turning the corner now. Indicator out. Now we turn. Right. Now you can put the indicator back.
Like this?
That's it. Oh, you're a really good driver. Now we put on the brake a little bit and pull up at the side of the road like this.
What are we stopping for, eh?
To give that nice man a lift. See? Here he comes.
Daddy tells Julie never to give anyone else a lift.
I know, but this is different. This man's a friend of your daddy's.
Ah. Oh. I've never seen him before.
Everything go off all right?
Perfect. Close the door. We don't want to hang around all day.
So, you're young Mark, are you?
Of course I am.
That's nice. Now, isn't this a lovely surprise, getting a half holiday from school when you didn't expect one?
Snob holiday. I'm going to my daddy's office.
Oh. Well, we'll have to stop off somewhere else first.
So, thank you.
Oh, but we've got another surprise for you, Mark.
Don't want to.
Now, don't worry, Mark. You're going to love this surprise.
Don't want to. Don't like you. Smell like peppermint.
Here you are. I've got a packet of them. Go on, Mark. Take some.
Don't want...
Oh, but they're nice sweeties, Mark. Go on.
Stop the jabber, for Pete's sake. Get on with it.
Relax, man. I know what I'm doing. Here you are, Mark. Now you see this handkerchief? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll play a little game, see? Now you'll be blindfolded and you'll tell us which way we're going. Do you think you can do that?
Don't want to play the silly game. Run.
Right, Nils, we'll do it the other way. Pull over. I've got the bottle in my pocket.
Why are you stopping again? I want to get my teddy.
Come on, hurry it up. Do you want chloroform all over the car? All right, here we go.
I want to get to my daddy.
Easy now, Mark, easy. You're going to have a nice little sleep. He's fighting with that thing.
Got him. Keep that pad firm on his nose, man.
Yeah. That's done it. He's out like a light. Come on, Nils. Let's get the heck out of here.
You're sure he's unconscious?
Yes, of course he is. I've done my part, now you do yours. Get moving.
February the 7th, 3:42 p.m. Brigadier Konrad Bossoff, head of the Ford Squad, Transvaal Division, is at his desk in his office at Divisional Headquarters, Johannesburg. He attends to a file of forms and reports of a routine nature. Then his outside line telephone rings.
Brigadier Bossoff. Quite right, Mr. Comrie. What can you tell me?
Well, this is rather awkward, Brigadier. As you know, one of the cornerstones of the banking business is discretion. Respect of privacy of the individual depositor.
Now, there are times, Mr. Comrie, when that discretion has to be tempered with something else. Call it a personal interest of the well-being of the person concerned.
Right.
And let me assure you again that any information you may give me will not be passed around indiscriminately.
No, I realize that, Brigadier. I'm sure I can rely on your own discretion. Well, then, you know Simon Calder, of course.
Simon Calder? Yeah, the name is familiar.
Calder Properties, Calder Constructions. Those are just two of his many financial interests.
Oh, yes, yes. Now I place the name, Mr. Comrie. What about Simon Calder?
He was in to see me here at the bank less than 15 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
He looked extremely worried. In fact, I've never seen him quite so distressed. Wanted to arrange a withdrawal of a very sizable withdrawal. That's why he came to me instead of going to one of our tellers.
I see. How much was it?
50,000 rand, Brigadier. In small bills.
Ten p.m. Brigadier Bossoff orders a car sent around to the front of the building immediately. He and Captain Willem van Staden are driven to the Northcliff home of Simon Calder. Neither of them is surprised to find the property and construction tycoon at home, this before five on a normal weekday. Calder looks drawn and pale. He shows alarm at the first sight of the policeman, and then he invites them into his study.
What can I do for you, gentlemen? Would you care for a drink?
No, thank you, sir. I believe your question is ill-phrased, Mr. Calder.
Huh?
It's not what you could do for us. It's the other way around. What we may be able to do for you.
I don't understand.
I think you do, Mr. Calder. And let me tell you that I fully appreciate your position. You've been instructed not to contact us, isn't that so?
How do you... That is... What do you mean?
How many children do you have, Mr. Calder?
Why, just one. My son, Mark.
How old is he?
He's just turned five. Look, will you tell me what this is all about?
Your son has been kidnapped, Mr. Calder. The people responsible have asked for a ransom of 50,000 rand in exchange for the safe return of your son. The safe return, Mr. Calder. Do you think 50,000 rand is enough to ensure that?
I don't know what you mean.
The kidnappers are criminals. They know exactly what might happen to them if they're caught. And if they are, your son might be the one responsible for their capture. He might remember something about them, recognize a face in the criminal files, identify them later. He's a danger to them, Mr. Calder.
Look, I don't see
now,
why...
Now, I'll be blunt with you, sir. In the majority of kidnapping cases throughout the world, the victim is invariably murdered, whether or not the ransom is paid. Now, that isn't a threat, sir. It's simply a statement of fact.
No. They said that if we called in the police, we would never see Mark alive again. Don't you understand? The only chance we've got is to do what they say.
Lyman?
Hmm? Oh, no, Mary, I was just talking to these...
I heard what you said. I heard what they said, too. About what usually happens.
Look, I think you'd better let me handle this.
No. Mark's my son as much as he's yours. I want him back, Simon. I want him safe. Are you sure that if you pay them the money, he'll be safe?
Look, no one can be sure.
We've got to do the thing that gives him the best chance. We can't take them on ourselves, Simon. But the police can. They know criminals. We don't. Tell them. Tell them everything.
February the 7th, 10:15 p.m. At the Calder home, lights are on the ground floor, showing in shards of bright yellow through gaps in the curtains. From the outside, the home seems no different than it always is. But inside, the scene is vastly changed. A telephone monitoring team has set up equipment in the lounge, and a tape recorder is ready to record any incoming or outgoing calls. A radio crewman has a direct link to control headquarters at Brixton. At several windows, armed, plainclothes men are alert and watchful. In a squad car less than three blocks away, two police dogs and their handlers are on immediate standby. In the lounge, Simon Calder puts a comforting arm across his wife's shoulder as he talks to Brigadier Bossoff.
I didn't recognize the voice on the telephone this afternoon, Brigadier. I'm sure I'd not heard it before either.
And what exactly did he say?
But I've already told you.
No, yeah, all right, but let's hear it again. Perhaps you might remember something of the phrasing. An odd way the man had of talking, or...
He just said, "We have your son. If you get in touch with the police, we'll kill him." Look, I tried to keep him on the phone, tried to buy time, I suppose, but he just kept right on talking.
Yes, yes.
He said, Collect 50,000 runt in small denominations and have it ready at home. We'll phone you again at 10 o'clock. Then he put the phone down. That's all, Brigadier.
Tell me, there was nothing out of the ordinary about his voice.
That's funny. I'd swear the man wasn't a South African. He had a sort of lilt to his voice. I don't know how to explain it.
A Welshman, perhaps?
No, I don't think so.
Indian?
Oh, no, not that either.
What about the Scandinavian countries? They have something of a lilt in their speech.
Yes, perhaps so, darling. But it wasn't a strong enough accent, really, to identify. Oh, at any rate, it doesn't matter. It's past 10, and he hasn't phoned.
And these sort of people like to prey on your nerves, Mr. Calder. Create a tension. Let your imagination work overtime. Get you into the frame of mind where you'll do anything they say.
I'll tell you something, Brigadier.
Huh?
If that is their intention, they're succeeding.
Don't let it get under your skin, Mrs. Calder. Everything that can be done has been done.
It's not a great deal of comfort, I'm afraid. I just keep thinking of Mark, wondering how he is and what they've done to him. The longer I wait, the less sure I am that I've done the right thing. These people seem so professional, so ruthless.
Professional? Perhaps so, Mrs. Calder. As criminals, yes, I'd say they were. But as kidnappers, no, that wouldn't be quite right. You see, there have been very few cases of kidnapping in the entire criminal history of South Africa. These men are amateurs. That's why we get on to them so quickly. I think the same thing will happen in this case.
But you can't be sure, can you, Brigadier?
No, Mrs. Calder. No one can be sure.
That's it. That's them.
Wait. Don't touch that phone. Oscar, you ready?
Ready, sir.
It's Sergeant Schmidt, radio link open?
Open, sir. We're through to control.
All right, Mr. Calder. I'll be listening on the extension. Try to be as calm as you can. Keep him talking as long as possible. We'll try to trace the call. Chances are he won't keep talking long enough.
All right.
Now, whatever you do, don't let slip that you called in the police.
Will you answer it?
Go on, answer it.
Hello?
Calder, is that you?
Yes, this is Calder. Who are you?
That's funny. That really is funny. Who are you expecting? A Santa Claus?
No, I just wasn't thinking.
Have you got the money?
Yes, I got it. I had some trouble with the bank, drawing out all that money in small...
I'm not interested in your troubles, Calder. Listen to me now. Listen carefully. Don't interrupt.
Mark, my son, is he all right?
Don't interrupt.
You must tell me, is he safe?
He's fine. If you use your head, you'll see him again tonight. Now shut up, Calder. If you try to keep me talking on this phone, I'll hang up. Is that clear? You understand?
Yes, sir. I understand.
You haven't called in the police, have you, Calder? Have you?
No, I haven't. I've done just what you told me to do. Nothing else. Do I need a paper and pencil?
No, just listen. You've put the money in an airline flight back.
Yes, it's ready.
Right. Now, here's what you do. You go to Rhodes Park in Kensington. You know it?
Yes, I know it.
You'll be there at exactly 1 o'clock tonight. You carry the bag. You smoke a cigarette. So we can see you clearly.
You'll be there?
Oh, yes. We'll be there, all right. We wouldn't miss it, not for anything. 1 o'clock, you understand?
Yes.
You walk anti-clockwise around the lake. You keep walking until you see a torch flash at you 3 times. You got that?
Yes.
When you see the torch flash, you stop. You put the bag down where you are. And you turn around and walk back the way you came. That's all. You got it?
I understand. When will I see my son again?
You'll see him, don't worry.
I am worried, wouldn't you be?
Stay worried, Calder. Think of what might happen if you don't do exactly what we say. That's all.
No, wait a minute. I want to ask you if... You put down the phone.
That's all right. For Skuart, you recorded the whole conversation?
On the tape, sir.
Right. Schmidt, put me through to control.
Yes, sir. A walkie-talkie to control... Sergeant Smith speaking. You read me, control. Over.
Read you loud and clear, walkie-talkie. Over.
Give me that microphone. Control, this is Brigadier Bossoff. Are we in contact with all the squad cars? Over.
Yes, sir. All the cars can hear you now. Just go ahead and talk, sir. Over.
Right. We've been contacted by the kidnappers. They've chosen Rhodes Park for the payment handover. The time they've chosen is 1 o'clock. That gives us just over 2.5 hours to get ready.
No, no, you can't do that. If they see you there, they'll know we've contacted the police. They'll kill Mark. You just can't do it.
Cars 3-1 and 5-4 proceed immediately to Rhodes Park and take up positions covering the lake. I want 3 2-man teams in position within 20 minutes on walkie-talkie link-up. Cars 2-7 and 2-9 to remain in position close to Rhodes Park in constant contact with control. That is all. Over and out.
How can you do it?
Mrs. Calder.
They'll kill my son.
Believe me, Mrs. Calder, this is the best way. My men are all in plain clothes. They'll stay out of sight until they receive orders of the walkie-talkie to move in on the men responsible for your son's kidnapping.
No. We should never have told you. Never.
Mrs. Calder, please. Please, Mrs. Calder, listen to me. If you just handed over that money without us being there, what do you think would have happened, huh?
I don't know. I don't care.
Once they got their hands on the money, why should they return your child alive?
No, no.
No, but this way, as soon as they show themselves, we'll be there to arrest them. And we'll find your son for you. That I promise you.
February the 8th, 1.03 a.m. Rhodes Park in Kensington has long since been closed to the public. Now, a solitary watchman makes a slow patrol through the trees and bushes surrounding the lake. He's been instructed by the police not to find anything unusual, not to react should he notice anyone hiding in the shrubbery. From a vantage point overlooking the lake, Brigadier Bossoff and Captain Verstaden are in walkie-talkie radio contact with the 3 teams of policemen hidden in the grounds. Now, below them, they watch the faint cigarette glow showing the progress of Simon Calder around the footpath surrounding the lake.
He's been just about right around the lake already, sir. No sign of anyone flashing a torch.
They will, Captain, they will. They're in hiding someplace down there, keeping an eye on Calder. They're not taking any chances. Probably wanting to check on whether or not Calder's been followed by us.
None of the teams has reported seeing anyone else in the park, sir.
Not likely to have either. These people had this all worked out in advance, Captain. They knew exactly where they were going to hide long before tonight. If they were just reasonably quiet, they could have got under cover without being spotted by our men.
I don't like this, sir. I keep thinking about what will happen if we lose them out there. If they manage to get away under cover of darkness.
Oh, you worry too much, Captain. If something like that took place, our squad cars are on standby with police dogs. They couldn't get away.
Look, sir. Torch flashes just in front of Calder. You are right. They are there.
Under cover of deep shrubbery, Detective Sergeant Armistice Clerk and Constable Koos de Grancy see the 3 abrupt flashes of the torch less than 100 yards from their position. The clerk lifts the walkie-talkie and speaks softly into the mouthpiece.
We've spotted them, sir. Hiding in the trees just above where Calder has stopped.
Stay where you are, Sergeant. Wait until I give the word to move in. Report on what you can see.
Very good, sir. Calder has placed the bag on the ground. Now he's walking back the way he came. There's still no sign of anyone coming out of those trees. And oh, wait a minute. I can see movement now, sir. There's one man. No, two. Two of them. They're moving very fast, outlined against the water. They're heading for the bag, sir.
Right, Sergeant. All 3 units, move in. Now.
Come on, Constable. Let's get them.
Halt! Stay where you are or I'll fire! They're shooting! Let them have it! He's heading away. Get him!
Oh, no, you don't!
you. So, you thought kidnapping was child's play, eh? Well, we've got another game for you to play. It's called lock-up time in the playpen.
Two men were captured in Rhodes Park, and a third was later arrested in a house in Orange Grove, where he'd been left to watch over young Mark Calder. Nils Larson and Julian Levitt were each sentenced to 15 years hard labor for their parts in the kidnapping. Malcolm Brady, who played a less important role, received 5 years. Mark Calder? He was returned to his parents unharmed.
They prowl the empty streets of night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence, these men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. They are the men of squad cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars. Brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.